This hour of the Kevin Miller Show is brought to you by MinutemanRx.com. American families, American veterans, taking care of Americans, fighting for America.
And I think I need not remind anyone on this committee, like any American, Sergeant Bergdahl has rights, and his conduct will be judged on the facts, not political hearsay, posturing, charges, or innuendo.
Fighting for Idaho.
Hoping for the sake of the family that you all will go away and leave the family alone, let the process work. And let them get back to their normal lives.
Fighting for you.
Kevin, we cannot go on like this with nothing except speculation up in the media. I mean, he deserves better. We deserve better.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
I appreciate the chance to be with you again, brother. I look forward to being back out in Idaho. Thanks, Semper Fi.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hey, good morning, Kevin Miller with you at 580 KIDO. Sorry about the cough. As we get ready for, this week, isn't it Saturday, the longest day of the year? Thankfully, the longest day of the year. And what a great summer it's been. Very little triple digits. And I'm so happy. Could we make it through the month of June without triple digits? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Something to think about. Anyway, coming up, we'll take a look at the possibility of now just of troops going back to Iraq. Didn't you love that? The president's going to send special forces to train the Iraqis. What did we do for the past 10, 15 years? Amazing. Let's go to the phones. Our great friend David Ripley joining us, Idaho Chooses Life, to talk about a lot of things. David, good morning.
How are you?
Living the dream, and you?
Well, missing you, really. You know, I haven't talked to you for a while, or you're... Great listening audience, so I appreciate the chance to catch up a little bit.
Well, it's good to have you with us. So let's talk a little bit about life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and the primary. You and I talked about this before. The governor won. The grassroots are fired up. A debacle in Moscow. Where do we begin?
It was a momentous primary election, I think. And, it's going to take some... leadership and I think some vision to put things back together again, remind people about where people agree and set aside some differences, which are certainly important, but in the context of what we're looking at this fall, I think the differences between the Republican ticket and the Democratic candidates I think are substantial and will ultimately help bring people together, I think.
Well, that's a pipe dream bringing people together right now.
Well, I think it's not as difficult as it may seem. The convention certainly, I've never even heard of a situation like the one that took place in Moscow. Certainly never witnessed such a thing, and I have to say I'm kind of happy I wasn't up there. Seems to me that we're looking at a situation where, really it's going to require leadership from the governor and from the chairman, Barry Peterson, to come to some terms and to, help lead the party out of this this ditch here.
Well, a lot of people are very critical of Barry. We're defending Barry because Barry listens to this program. Hello, Barry! But it seems like the establishment wants to get Barry. The grassroots want Barry to stay. Then you have the story by Popke on Politics today that there was a big compromise that didn't happen. And there we go. What's the problem with the grassroots and the establishment? It seems like if you don't kill the king, figuratively, then the king wins. We saw that with the Ada County vote where all the establishment folks got in. A lot of conservative precinct committee men were not invited as delegates. Well, obviously, because... they don't represent the cause. Then you have the, not the competition committee, but the credentials committee deciding, sorry, your votes or your delegates are invalid. That's a lot going on.
Well, it is, and I think, frankly, there was a lot of overreaching by both sides, in my view, starting with some of the county delegation, selection process. I think... there was some overreaching going on that helped produce the situation in at the state convention. And, you know, I'm hoping that people will begin to step back and figure out that, in fact, we need each other. And while those differences are real and will continue, I mean, there's no doubt that there are differences of opinion, and some of that is values, and some of it is, you know, pragmatism, different approaches about how to get, you know, where people want to go. But I think there's some learning curve that's going on here as people sort of step back, I hope, and realize that, you know, these are the disparate parts of the party are required to make this thing function.
David Ripley with us, Idaho Chooses Life. So you endorsed Senator Fulcher. Are you getting any blowback for that?
Well, I mean, you know, the fact is I think, you know, there's a lot of disappointment about that, which is, you know, that's part of what's happening with the convention and, you know, some of the issues that were pending on the convention floor. And that's, you know, completely natural. There was a lot of hard work and a lot of hopes and whatever, and you know, but the governor won the primary, and I think it's important for people to get a little time to heal up, obviously, but it's also important to look at what it is we're looking at in the fall. And I've started taking a look at some of the statements by A.J. Balakoff, the Democratic candidate for governor. His website is he's actually been very accommodating, I think. In the last few days, I've been actually taken aback by some of the positions that he's outlined on his, you know, campaign website. I don't think most, at least activist Republicans, have really been paying attention to him per se. You know, they were focused on a very intense primary election, and I think as attention begins to turn toward the Democrat and the positions he represents, I think people are going to be sort of taken aback. I mean, I was surprised to find that he is very critical of the Attorney General and the governor for defending Idaho's constitution with respect to homosexual marriage. He's advocating that the state abandon its position and allow an autocratic federal judiciary to impose a new social order on the people of Idaho, despite the fact that, you know, the people of Idaho amended the Constitution. And it seems to me to be, you know, Balakoff's position there is fairly extreme, because he is suggesting that the basic notion of self-governance, which is embedded in our right to amend the Constitution to respond to various, you know, issues of the day, should be set aside to yield to, I think, an out-of-control federal judiciary. And he's harshly critical of Butch and Lawrence Wasson for defending Idaho and the Constitution.
Well, but David Ripley at 580 KIDO, that's why he's a lib. That's why he's a Democrat. They're down with the same-sex marriage. That's just how it is. So let's move on to a cultural issue here.
Well, that's a pretty big cultural issue.
Well, no, that's where we're going. But you take a look at the look, you got to give the left their due. And perhaps they wouldn't be successful under any other president, including Hillary Clinton, than they are under the current one. But they saw what the right did, and which was passing these constitutional amendments, which at the time most of us thought were ironclad. Most of us thought that the Supreme Court would honor state constitutions and respect them and not come up with a wimpy, sissy, wussy Windsor decision, and which threw everything back to the states. And you had legal analysts that, whether they got their degrees by, like Kevin Miller, by watching Law and Order, or or at Harvard or Yale, saying they're going to go with the Equal Protection Clause. And that's what we've seen. We've seen an orchestrated campaign by a specific group. We have four lesbians, or is it six lesbians, that have overturned the will of the people in Idaho? You have it in Utah. You have it in California. You have it in South Dakota. You have it everywhere. This was a brilliant campaign by the left to overturn the will of the people. Now, where do we go from here?
Well,
the possibility.
I mean, it's so far it's been effective, but I'm not going to give you brilliant, because the paradigm they had.
They're winning, David.
Well,
they're winning. That,
right. But the paradigm they had was already established through Roe v. Wade, where you had basically this, I mean, you didn't have state constitutions at stake, but you did have long-standing state laws that protected babies in the womb and regarded them under the law as human beings worthy of protection. And you had an activist federal judiciary impose a new social regime upon the people of the United States. And so that model was, already battle-tested, I guess.
Well, and look, you had the Supreme Court saying, well, we overstepped with Roe. They're overstepping now, and when this goes back to the Supreme Court, look, I don't want to be a negative Nelly. I'm with you, but sometimes I wake up and I wonder, what country am I in? Where we have men with the earrings and the merces, the man purses, and, wearing, capri pants and such, and wouldn't know a day's work if it came up and smacked him in the head. And if you say, well, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman, as Nicole Lefevre said to me, I'm anti-gay. I'm anti-gay for my religious, cultural, American beliefs. And you would have a majority of the young people probably agreeing with her because they have no critical thinking skills.
Well, anyway, they've been deeply indoctrinated through public schools. There's no doubt about that. And it is breathtaking. I will say this about the left's campaign on homosexual marriage. What has been brilliant is the propaganda campaign, which has come through the school system and through the popular culture to indoctrinate people with a view which says that to defend traditional marriage, to defend traditional values, is to be a bigot and is to be a hate monger. And that kind of propaganda has really had an effect, and it's certainly even chilled rational conversation about the social policy at play here. There's no doubt about that.
David Ripley, how do you see the Republican Party playing out here?
Well, I think there's going to be a very serious general election. I think the National Democratic Party is probably encouraged by some of what's going on, at the close of the primary and then afterwards. I think it's incumbent upon the governor to help lead the party back to a place of, peace and, if not harmony, at least effectiveness. And, to the extent that that can get dealt with quickly, I think we're going to be in a, good position to win this fall, particularly when Idaho learns more about the fact that, A.J. Balakoff is a honest-to-goodness Democrat. And, he holds views on homosexual marriage, he holds views on taxation, he holds views on public education, he holds views on life, which are in sync with the National Democratic Party's position on all those issues.
David Ripley, IdahoChoosesLife.org. We always appreciate it.
Well, it's good to chat with you.
And, we'll,
and to talk about these, we're in a very important and critical time here. And I think it's some, I'm praying for some wisdom and, and some healing up here.
Well, keep your powder dry, brother.
Yeah, you too, my man.
All right, we'll talk this week.
Okay, you take care.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye. It's our great friend David Ripley, IdahoChoosesLife.org, with the latest on the GOP debacle. We'll have the latest from Channel 7 on that. Also, the big top story of the day, number one, we've been indoctrinated by World Cup propaganda. Does anybody know where Ghana is? Does anybody know where Ghana is? I mean, on Facebook. And here's where we differentiate ourselves. This is where we don't go along with everybody else. Oh, isn't it great? We won the World Cup. What did we win? Oh, we won one game against Ghana. Where is Ghana? And what does it say that the incredible resources of the United States of America, with its very best athletes, are celebrating a win over Ghana? And I'm sure Ghana is a nice place to visit, nice folks over there by the Ivory Coast, but really, can they compare to the United States of America? And are we lacking critical thinking skills? Once again, think about this. You're at work, and you're sitting at your desk. Maybe you have a paper cup of coffee like Kevin Miller here, and you have the young people, the old people, because you know why? We've been told that we have to like the World Cup. We've been told that soccer is the greatest. We've been told. And instead of looking at it going, man, dude, this is boring. This is sports socialism. It really is. At least in basketball, they go up and down the court and that kind of thing. Half the time in soccer, nobody's doing anything. They're just walking around. But we're told that this is the best ever. Well, because everybody, the world loves it. Well, what's wrong with being America? What's wrong with being exceptional? So we'll get into that as well to try and wake you up with a smile here this morning. It is 6:20, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio
station.
That's going
to Houston. We'll get it back. We're number 7. The touch pad. Dempsey cutting inside the box. Dempsey's in. Dempsey has to post it in. The U.S. has scored a little bit better than a half minute into the game. Jermaine Jones will run on to it and just try to kill the clock, and he's done it. U.S. wins 2-1 in dramatic fashion.
580 KIDO, not to be outdone, Congress weighed in on the World Cup.
Our unique connection to the U.S. men's soccer players stems from the team's composition. The roster is a reflection of America itself. It's diversity, but yet it's unity.
Gotta love it. Who would have thought that Harry Reid was a soccer fan?
Another reason I love soccer, you don't have all those advertisements interrupting the game. It's a free-flowing athletic contest.
Ooh, Harry. Hey, you remember this from the last World Cup? Was that the Vavazuzu or whatever? Remember that? Remember we used to play that all the time? Like incessantly? Oh, how annoying. Anyway. Good morning, Kevin Miller with you here at 580KIDO. Now, in the hopes of entertaining you, and certainly not to encourage this type of behavior, we've been very blessed to be here in the Treasure Valley, and it's very rare that I get hate mail. Maybe it's because I'm not doing my job. Maybe it's the growth of the program. Maybe it's you like what we do. And there's an old axiom in talk radio that if you're not blanking people off, you're not doing your job. So maybe we're not doing our job. But I have to tell you, I got an interesting piece of hate mail, and it is hate mail. And I can't sit there and go, oh, somebody doesn't like me. When you say inflammatory, provocative things, it just comes with the territory. In fact, it's funny. We have talks here at the broadcast center where people say, Kevin, you need to talk more about yourself. You need to reveal who you are. Dude, I'm a boring guy shaped like a bell pepper. It's not that much of a mystery. And besides, when you have people that, you know, don't like you, it's best that you keep some things to yourself. So anyway, in the interest of your entertainment only, and not to whine, not to cry, not to go, oh no, Kevin Miller, here is a very creative, insightful, and piece of hate mail. By the way, we do have some mood music. All right, to Mr. K. Dummy, you were wrong about Labrador. You were wrong about Bundy. You were wrong about Bergdahl. Do you sense a common theme here? You're wrong about Hamilton, murdering thief Lincoln, Toyotas, AK-47s. The list is endless. You're a talking squirrel, childlike dummy that won't be on the radio or in the Treasure Valley in 5 years. This was a much better place before opportunistic carpet-bagging weasels like you showed up. Do you see why I have issues? But I digress. It's very good. It's obvious you don't know jack about history, human nature, the English language. Oh, that one hurts. Or anything else. You're a fraud first class. You're a user of people and situations. How many stunts are you going to pull? You don't care about people. It's all about promoting yourself and your boring, repetitious show with the same old losers calling in day after day. How dare you? Call me a loser. Call me a peppermint patty. But don't you dare attack the callers. Just a thought here. What do you have to say? That's the Sleep Country ding. Who's doing that? Anyway, you blank and moan about big government taking away our rights and subverting the Constitution. What the hell do you think Lincoln did? You don't know truth about this homosexual, racist, murdering thief. Look it up. Now, what's the deal with that? Isn't that a little... What do I have to do with Lincoln? The Constitution was null and void for 4 years, and 800,000 people died because of this blank. You're a Fool to Believe the Myth of Lincoln. By the way, what exactly do you like about Alexander Hamilton? Another example of your ignorance of history. Protector of the Union, Mike. We'll just call it derriere. What a loser you are. Have a nice day, dummy. Jeff Thomas of Emmett. And Jeff signed his name, and we don't have a problem saying Jeff Thomas of Emmett has some very creative thoughts on the program. If you share Jeff's thoughts and would like them read to the creative sounds of Yakety Sax for entertainment purposes only, you can either... I like the snail mail better than the email. The email's too easy. But anyway, that's our new segment, Hating K. Millie. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you're having a bad day, at least you didn't get that letter written in purple ink, whatever that means. 39 outside in Boise. I'm having visions of Benny Hill now. You're listening to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO.
John Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Every time I hear the song, I think of arriving at the Kuwait airport and, I don't know, just being so American first and thinking of this video. Anyway, good morning. Kevin Miller in the morning. 580 KIDO. Let's go live to Jerusalem. Emily Weather joins us from Fox News Radio. Good morning, Emily.
Hello. Good morning. How are you?
Business is picking up for you, huh?
Yes, it's pretty busy here at the moment. So not only is the situation in Iraq ongoing, and that's likely to get worse over the coming days, but also here in Israel, there is a huge operation underway at the moment to try and find three missing teenagers. They were believed to be abducted last Thursday. The Israeli military still have not been able to find them. They were picked up from the West Bank. It's believed that one of the teenagers actually made a quick phone call to the police saying, "I've been kidnapped." He whispered it into the phone, and the police at the time didn't believe it. And so it was only hours later when the family reported them missing that this large-scale operation took place. But while the Israeli military continue to search for these three teenage boys, it does risk sparking off some kind of more serious conflict here, because during the searches for these missing teenagers, the Israeli forces have shot and wounded dozens of Palestinians in confrontations sparked by the military search. And there's growing anger among Palestinians. They've arrested more than 200 of them now. Homes have been raided, and when I say raided, I mean they've been trashed, turned completely upside down. And there are very heavy restrictions on movement. So many civilians in the West Bank, Palestinians, are pretty much trapped in their areas, and they're not able to go to work. And so that is causing a lot of anger. There has also been two Palestinians killed in the last week during the military search and the confrontations that have followed. So that as well has led to a lot of anger on the streets. So while the Israelis want to find these teenagers and bring them back, at the moment it does risk into turning into something a lot bigger.
Well, and then we have the situation with the Iraq meltdown, if you will. Israel always vigilant about its borders and such. How concerned are they about ISIS and the instability in Iraq?
They've been concerned for some time about the instability in Syria. And, of course, that has been spilling over the border now into neighboring countries for some time. So I think now that Iraq is now descending into chaos, it's just yet another headache for the Israelis. This particular Sunni militant group, who's involved in the latest round of fighting ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Greater Syria, do have a presence on Israel's border to the north. This militant group has small pockets located in the Golan Heights on the Syrian side, and the Israelis have been watching that quite closely. For the Israelis, of course, the big fear for them always is that while all these enemies are fighting each other in the Middle East, as the Middle East looks more likely to descend into some kind of full-scale regional war, there's one thing that unites the enemy among each other, and that is the common enemy. And the common enemy for the Middle East is always going to be Israel. So this, of course, puts them at an incredibly vulnerable position.
Well, and that is troubling. It's what Israel lives with all the time here at 580KIDO. Emily Weather joining us live from Jerusalem at 580KIDO with the very latest. What do you make of, and Emily, you're a journalist, and part of being a journalist, I guess, is knowing history, but the historical significance of possibly the United States going back to Iraq and possibly giving air support to our friends, the Iranians?
It's not unsurprising that the U.S. and Iran will be going into some kind of cooperation agreement when it comes to defending Iraq. And this won't be the first time that the U.S. and Iran have cooperated in recent history. They also did in 2003 to fight the Taliban. So it's not that this close cooperation is completely unprecedented, but it is definitely unusual. But it's not surprising because the Iranians are a Shiite Muslim state and they want to keep in power the Shiite-led government of Nouri al-Maliki. And so does the U.S. because at the moment there is no viable alternative to them. So it's in their best interest to keep Nouri al-Maliki in power as well. So it makes sense that the two countries will have discussions about what should happen. Now, the big problem is, of course, is that the vision that the U.S. has for Iraq is likely going to be very different to what the Iranian vision for Iraq is. I mean, this is a very pro-Shia state. They are pretty extreme in their agenda, and they've spent many years trying to destabilize Iraq during the American military presence. So it is unusual that we're now seeing the Iranians and the Americans working together. But I think some kind of discussion certainly needs to take place between the Americans and the Iranians about what kind of Iraq they both want to see emerge from all of this. Because what's happening in Iraq is very serious. This is not just pockets of fighting. Some experts are saying that what we could see in the country is it breaking off. And Iraq as we know it, since 1920, will no longer exist in its current state. It could be sectioned into three separate states, one in the north for the Kurds, that's something they've always wanted, and then possibly a split down Sunni and Shiite lines. So, I mean, it's a very complicated situation and one that's not going to be resolved quickly with, a couple of airstrikes and some boots on the ground.
Fascinating, though, it could go back to the ways of how it was broken up by the old Ottoman Empire, number one, and number two, it's hard to work with someone when they continue to call you the great Satan.
Well, I mean, those sorts of remarks haven't really been happening under the new guy, Hassan Rouhani. He is the new moderate leader of Iran. I say moderate with that tone of voice because, this is Iran we're talking about. So he's moderate by Iranian standards, but, he's not moderate by standards that you and I know. However, those sorts of unhelpful remarks that Iran used to make towards the U.S., and I say the word unhelpful, that's a direct quote from the Iranian leader Hassan Rouhani. Those unhelpful comments from the previous guy, Ahmad Mahmadinejad, just simply aren't happening anymore. It has to be accepted. Relations between Iran and the West are thawing. So much so, in fact, that the British government have announced today that they are going to be reopening their embassy in Iran. It was closed years ago when protesters overran the building and Britain suspended diplomatic relations between the two countries. But the government in London is saying that it's now the right time to head back to Tehran, and I'm sure they won't be the only ones. So it's just a sign that Iran is becoming more open to working with Western governments. And I think this cooperation in Iraq could be an example of those thawing relations in action.
Finally, Emily, what do you think of the announcement that the president's going to send possibly up to 300 special operators to train the Iraqis? I thought we already trained the Iraqis.
It's not that those military personnel are being sent in to train Iraqis. They're mostly being sent in to protect staff at what is a huge embassy that's based in the capital, Baghdad. And that's really not surprising. I mean, that is a typical reaction of any country that feels that its assets are under threat. So these up to 300 military personnel that are being sent into Iraq will simply, protect the embassy and its staff because the embassy is still open. Despite the chaos that is descending on Iraq, the American embassy in Baghdad is pretty much operating as usual. They've not closed up yet. So those troops are mostly going there right now to protect the embassy. But there also will possibly be some special forces going into the country. I don't think that decision's been 100% made yet. And they would not train Iraqi security forces as such, but they would provide technical and logistical help for them. I mean, this is a major military operation for the Iraqi forces, the biggest test that they will have faced since the U.S. pulled out. And fighting an insurgency of this scale, I think it's only natural that they will rely on other countries for advice on the best way to do that.
Emily Wither, thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right, Emily Wither joining us live from Jerusalem. And you heard it, the idea of special operators going back in. At 580-5436, coming up next, more World Cup fallout, number one. Number two, how credible do you think this is? Is it their war or is it ours? Do you support putting military, our military, back into that country? Is it worth it? 580-5436. 648, Kevin Miller in the morning. 55 in Meridian. Sorry about the cough. Let's get you to traffic now.
Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
653, Kevin Miller in the morning. Caller 10 right now, you're going to win a family four-pack to The West Side Story. That's right, The West Side Story, the musical theater of Idaho, coming up at the Nampa Civic Center. A family four-pack is yours. The shows are from June 26th to 28th, 7:30 each night. They've got a matinee. Looks very exciting. So family four-pack is yours. Caller 10 at 580-5436, 580-5436. Who could resist West Side Story? So check that out. Getting back to just something to be excited about, everybody's pumped about the World Cup. Are you?
Well, you started well today. In a few seconds, made a goal. So maybe three United States, one Ghana.
Right. Do we know where Ghana is? I don't know where Ghana is. I'm sure it's a nice place to visit. A lot of great athletes there. And why are we really following the World Cup? Are we doing it because we love soccer? Because soccer is so successful in this country? In reality, youth soccer is, but anything else?
That throw and Beasley will get it back wearing number 7. The touch ahead. Dempsey cutting inside the box. Dempsey's in! Dempsey has to post it in! The U.S. has scored a little bit better than a half minute into the game.
There you have it. Dempsey scores a minute and a half into the game. Now, realistically, at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, you can tell Uncle K. Millie, you can relieve yourself of the guilt of not liking soccer right here. I mean, let's face it, everybody's all about soccer and the World Cup, but do we really even know the rules of the game? And are we down with this just because, well, they told us. They said that it was the greatest thing ever. But is it? You know, I look at the tweets and the Facebooks and everybody. You know, my brother played soccer, and he goes, what's with you and your bashing of the World Cup? And I'm just asking the question, why are we so down with this game?
Jermaine Jones will run on to it and just try to kill the clock, and he's done it. U.S. wins 2-1. Fashion.
Now, I got to tell you, I like the coach because he's German, that Klinsmann guy, and he doesn't like people, which is a good attribute to have if you're a successful coach. Most coaches do not like people. But in reality, let's face it, I was watching one TV show last night. We're live at the bar, and everybody's going down with the World Cup, and I'm going, okay, really? Can somebody explain to me the significance of the World Cup?
They got the first goal, so that right there says a lot.
Right. And quite frankly, I think that it's the reason why we're going cup crazy in this country is because the media tells us to do this. Because the sports networks say, well, we've got to watch what happened. This guy played for Manchester United, wherever that is, and these guys are really good. But in reality, does it have the same significance as the Super Bowl? As the national title? I love it when people say it's bigger than the Super Bowl. Well, of course, because the rest of the world likes it. But shouldn't we embrace our own American sports exceptionalism? And even the sports people are drinking the Kool-Aid. No one has enough guts to stand up to the World Cup and say, enough! If you want to run around in baggy shorts with black socks, kicking a ball through a net, good for you. I'd rather see a quarterback throw a touchdown, a shooting guard hit a three-pointer, a goalie stop a puck at 110 miles an hour, or a NASCAR guy taking a bunch of left turns? What about you? More on that in a minute. Speaking of NASCAR, let's get you to work safely. And coming up, we'll check in with our great friend, Colonel Tim Marsano of the Idaho Air and Army National Guard for the latest on the troops. Could we be seeing any Idaho troops going to the Middle East? Of course, they're always in the region, always working hard. We always support our men and women, active duty, guard, and reserve right here at 580 KIDO. And an Idaho politician goes national. If you missed it, you'll hear it here. Plus your chance to discuss with Kevin Miller. Good morning. Serving Meridian.